The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Morning, kids. We're going to take a step back right around this area. Can we make a semicircle? How many of you are good at catching stuff? Perfect, 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 perfect. In the gospel story that Pastor Tim read, Jesus calls us sheep. Jesus is known as the great shepherd. The story that Pastor Tim read takes place way before the crucifixion. And the reason why this is important is because we are still in the Easter season. So, way before the crucifixion ever happened, way before the Passover, way before Good Friday, Maundy, Thursday, the Passover, and all that, the disciples were hanging around with Jesus, and they looked at him in reverence and awe and said, "This is it. This is the guy. He is here to redeem us. He is here to save us. If we stick with him, he will rebuild the kingdom of Jerusalem and we'll be the top dogs again. We will be the rulers of the world. Our people and our culture will lead the way." And then Jesus died. He died. They saw him be tortured. Peter betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. Everybody scattered. That was not supposed to happen. What was supposed to happen was they were supposed to live forever. Jesus was supposed to conquer the Roman Empire. He was supposed to put them back on top. Didn't happen. And so now all the disciples are lost and confused, and they're scared. And just like these little sheep, Jesus said, "You're in my hand, you're my sheep, and you will always be in my hands." Well, now Jesus has passed away, and they're scattered. They're scattered in the wind. However, just like you are right now picking them up, they may have been scattered. But little did they know, had they listened to Jesus, had they have been taught to have more faith, then they would have been picked up. So I just threw all those disciples, all those sheep in the air, and what did y'all do? You caught them and you picked them up, and now can you please return them to my hand? And so this is what Jesus means. His sheep are always in his hand, no matter how much they fall, no matter if they fall again. Thank you. Once you are a Christian, once you have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which you have, you will always be part of Jesus' family. You will always be part of his hand. I'm going to throw these sheep up one more time. I know life can be confusing and hard sometimes, and it looks like, "God, Jesus, you're not there. I'm just in the wind." But Jesus and the Holy Spirit and your community will always bring you back to him. And now can you put them back in my hand so you will never, ever be lost? Okay. So we're going to do something that we did last week, or we started 2 weeks ago. Can you put your prayer hands together? So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. And then when the prayer's done, I'm going to say amen, and then the children's sermon will be done. Okay, short prayer. Does anybody need anything to be prayed about? Any test? You're not in junior high. No, you're in fifth grade, right? Oh, fourth. Did they give you like a final exam or anything like that? Okay, so we'll just pray for a good end of the school year? Yeah? Okay, all right. Dear Jesus, thank you for your son. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the whole gift of the Holy Spirit. Please be with these children as they go about their school week. Please be with these children as they end their school year. And may we have a fun summer together. And during the summer, may they get to know you and grow in you better. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in seminary, the schedule for the year was usually you had the fall semester and you had the spring semester, and there may have been some summer classes that were optional, but during the month of January they would have what they called interim. And during interim, you would take only one class. They offered several different classes, but each student would take only one class. One year during the interim class, the class that I took was an urban ministry class. It was doing ministry in the inner city. And rather than being on campus there in Dubuque, Iowa, we instead had class in Detroit, in inner city Detroit. And that was in the early to mid 80s. What we did there is we did have some classroom work, but most of the time we were out and about. We went to some soup kitchens and actually helped serve food or prepare food. On the weekends, we were in some of the inner city churches, and many of those were mixed. Some of them were pretty well fully African-American churches, Lutheran churches. And we learned about the plight that the people were in the inner city. We learned about the white flight that happened out of Detroit. But one of the things that we did while we were there is one evening is each of the students got to ride along with patrol officers, police officers, patrolling the streets overnight. And it was, again, this was January. It was in Detroit. The weather was not hot and balmy. As a matter of fact, it was very cold. I don't think if it was above zero, it was not much above zero. There was snow everywhere. It was not actively snowing that night, but there was snow everywhere, and it was cold. And it was when we first started, so it was fairly early in the evening. It was maybe 5:30, and that far north, by 5 o'clock, everything is pitch black. There is no twilight, there is nothing else. It is nighttime at 5 or 5:30 in the evening. And while we were out on patrol, there was a young boy, maybe 10, 12 years old, who flagged down the police officers patrolling around in the car. And they started talking to him. Come to find out, he had been after school, he had gone to a community center, and he had played some basketball with his friends. And he was on his way home. And when he played basketball, he had a special pair of shoes that he would play basketball with. And he wouldn't wear those in that snow or through the slush or different things because he didn't want to ruin those special basketball shoes. And so he was walking home carrying his basketball shoes, and some older kids came along and snatched them out of his hand. Just took them and ran away. And that greatly upset that little boy because he had worked hard to earn those. His mom had also worked hard to be able to scrape enough money up together to pay for those shoes. And now they're gone. Just like that, they were gone. And he was very much upset. So the police officers put him in the back seat of the patrol car with me, and we drove around to where this happened, looking in the neighborhood, see if we could see anything. And whoever took him was gone. And so the little boy lost his shoes. And so we just took him home to his house. That idea of being snatched, it's a sense of being violated. Something happening to us that we do not deserve. Something stolen from us. Something taken away from us. It feels as if we have been attacked, if something has been snatched from us. It comes unexpectedly. It's kind of sneaky. It's quick. You think about animals being snatched. A predator taking livestock snatches it out of the herd or the flock. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus actually uses that word snatch twice. He uses it twice in our gospel lesson. But that's not the only time that snatch comes up in this gospel lesson. It starts out that this is the time of the dedication, a festival of dedication. It is winter time in Jerusalem. And I imagine in Jerusalem, the weather is fairly similar to what it would be like here in the wintertime. I would think that it does get cold there. It could be a damp wind coming off the Mediterranean Sea. It could be the drizzly wet that we get, say, in January or February type weather. It's just kind of pleasant weather. And Jesus and his disciples were under the porch there in the temple courtyard. But there was a different sense of winter as well. Jesus was probably there talking to people. People were gathering around. Again, it's a festival time, one of the festivals that the Jewish people celebrate. And so there were probably pilgrims coming into town. So there were people around. Jesus was probably ministering to them, talking to them, maybe teaching, maybe healing or blessing some people. And up comes the religious leaders. They approach Jesus, and they think they have him once again. Once again, we see one of these traps. This time, it's not a question, but it's a demand. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And this was a perfect question or a perfect demand to make of Jesus. And it would seem that he would be trapped. Jesus could not lie. He could not say, no, I am not the Messiah. If he would say no, then all those people who were around would hear it, and Jesus would be discredited. People would go away. They would quit following him. Or if Jesus says, yes, I truly am the Messiah, then they could have him arrested with the temple police and put him on trial in front of the Jewish leaders. And then they could haul him off to the Roman courts, possibly to have him executed. And their problem of Jesus would be solved. And so they thought that they had him. And it was a very simple demand, a very simple question. Tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Jesus, there was very little wiggle room for Jesus. He couldn't hem-haw around. They were asking, tell us plainly. But Jesus does not answer in the way that they expect. Not because he was afraid of the religious leaders, not because he felt trapped, not because he wanted to keep it a secret, but he told them the answer in a different way because they had a distorted view of who the Messiah should be. They thought the Messiah would be somebody like King David, who would come riding in on the white horse and who would liberate Israel from Roman control, who would lead the people, call the people back together, because by this time the Jewish nation had been scattered throughout the world, that the Jewish people, the Israel, would become a mighty player in this world, would become the glorious country once again that it had played. That role that it had played in the past under King David and under King Solomon. But that's not who Jesus was. And so he didn't answer in the way that they expected. For us too, sometimes I think we don't have a clear view of who this Jesus is, who God truly is. If we think of God as being a mighty Santa Claus, that if we're nice, he will give us anything that we ask for, anything that we want. Or we think of God as if we pray hard enough, we can manipulate that will of God so that we can snatch whatever we want out of this world. Or that if we're good and faithful enough, that we will have long life on this earth, and all of our troubles, if we become Christians, all of our troubles in this world will go away. But that's not who Jesus is. That is not the God that Jesus is. God, or Jesus, is that Son of God who came into this world to give his life for us, who laid down his life for us, and then rose again, bringing us eternal life. This is a God who gives us that opportunity that even though we may suffer in this life, he gives us hope. He always gives us that hope that that's not the end of us, that that's not the final word. We too will be raised to new life. And so we continue to go on living, to go on moving, to go on bearing this good news, to call other people into this kingdom of God. The way that Jesus answered the question is he said, I've already told you. If you just open your eyes, look and see what he has done, what he had done. Open your eyes to see what Jesus has done. All these things that he's done in his Father's name shows who he is, of how he ministered to the poor, how he healed the sick, how he raised the dead, how he had proclaimed the kingdom of God. This is who Jesus is. That's the Messiah that God sent into this world. And not only to save the Israelite nation, but also to save us, to save everyone. That's what God's hope is. For those who listen to Jesus, for those who believe, for those who follow him, he gives a promise here. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one's going to steal them. No one's going to grab him. No matter what happens, we are in Jesus' hands. Nothing can tear us away. Not fighting, not death, not pain, not torture, not disease, not even the glitter and the glamour of the world. He will pull us back together, draw us back together into his flock, into his kingdom. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we do not need to fear. As our psalm read, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with us, and he holds us together in his flock, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. We continue to follow Christ. We continue to follow our risen Savior, believing that he is the true Messiah. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.